Hello, this is Tom Scott with the news from Ford County for the week of October 11, 2020. We begin with the latest press releases from the local public health departments. First, from Ford County Public Health Department, there have been a total of 230 cases in Ford County. That is an increase of 54 cases from last week. Of those, 27 have been attributed to an outbreak at a long-term care facility. 155 people have been released from isolation, 63 are currently in home isolation, 5 are hospitalized, and there have been 7 deaths. That is an increase of 2 from our reading last week, one a male in his 90s and the other a female in her 80s. There have been 5,898 tests administered in Ford County. The tests, total cases, female 58, male 42. A breakdown of the cases by age, 29 are under 20, 38 between the ages of 20 and 29, 28 between the ages of 30 and 39, 24 between the ages of 40 and 49, 24 again between the ages of 50 and 59, 28 between the ages of 60 and 69, 18 between the ages of 70 and 79, 25 between the ages of 80 and 89, and there have been 16 cases of individuals over the age of 90. This information is current as of October 15, 2020. In Iroquois County, total cases 472, which is an increase of 45 from last week. Confirmed cases 424, probable cases 48. Released 401, currently in home isolation 49. 3 are hospitalized and 19 are deceased. 55.7% of the cases are female, 44.3% male. There have been a total of 12,748 test results in Iroquois County, of which 96.3% were negative and 3.3% were positive. This data is current as of October 14, 2020. We turn to the news with a follow-up from a story from last spring. Ugandan couple moves back home to home country from Paxton. Iganga, Uganda. After staying in Paxton for 7 months, Charles Magumba and his wife Destiny returned to their home country in Uganda last Wednesday. The Uganda borders had been closed due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but opened back up on October 1st. Magumbas left Paxton through the O'Hare Airport on Monday, October 5th, before arriving in Uganda on Wednesday. "It's just been an adventure, not knowing when we would come back," Charles Magumba said. Charles, who is a pastor of Salem Church in Kampala, Uganda, has a school that the ministry sponsors there in Uganda, came to Paxton with Destiny for a prayer seminar hosted by the First United Methodist Church on the weekend of March 13th to 15th. They had stayed in Paxton so long that, according to Charles, they had trouble transitioning back to their lives in Uganda. "We actually began missing Paxton the day after arriving," Charles Magumba said. "We've begun to integrate slowly. We had to integrate in some ways and get into the culture there. One of the things," Charles said, "he missed about being in the United States, along with the relationships developed with people in Paxton and surrounding areas, is the food. It's been difficult to get back here and eat food that we eat here," Magumba said. I don't feel like eating it because for 7 months I've been eating this American food. Now it's difficult just to get back into the usual way of life here in Africa. A part of us has been taken away. It's still there in the United States. We appreciate those very deep relationships that we have developed with different individuals in Paxton and in the cities around it. We will always cherish this for all of our lives. It's nice to be back home and get into the feel of things. We miss Paxton a lot. We miss the food. We miss the people. If you told me to come and visit Paxton again, even before the end of the year, I would gladly jump onto a plane and come and visit. That's how attached we are to your place now. We appreciate you guys and your generosity and hospitality. The Magumbas were hosted by Royce Bayer and his family at the Bayer's house next to the Bayer Funeral Home in Paxton, which Royce is using as a guest house. People in the Paxton community helped with paying of bills and bringing food to the Magombas and would take them out to restaurants. Royce Bayer took good care of us for about 4 months at his house. I would just tell these people thank you from the bottom of our heart. We are Paxtonians now. We felt like coming back to Paxton the next day, Charles said. It was like we were coming to visit Uganda. That's how deeply connected we feel to your small town. We will always cherish the memories of being there and the people we met there, some of whom we may not see again in life. It was a great privilege just to live among you guys and see how you live out your life and how you've developed your country and your town. If you can do the same here, we developed deep relationships with people, so much that now we have come back, we feel a part of us has been taken away. Still, Magumba said it was good to reunite with his kids, the oldest of whom, Magumba said, had begun to cry like someone had died when they first arrived in Uganda. The Mugambas' three kids, the oldest of which is 8 years old, the second oldest is 7.5 years old, and the youngest will be 4 years old on October 14th, have been living with their grandmother while Charles and Destiny have been in Paxton. It's just a joy to be back, Charles Magumba said. Our children have changed a lot in 7 months. They have grown. They've changed a great deal. It's been just a joy to be reunited with them. The Magumbas have brought containers loaded with resources, including books, used clothes, and furniture, back with them to Uganda, and will continue to do so. All this is going to help a lot of poor people here in Uganda, Charles Magumba said. That's coming from your communities there. If we hadn't been stranded there and developed relationships the way we did, all of this would not have been coming down to Uganda. Along with some volunteers in Paxton, Magumbas have created a charitable organization called Freedom Mission Project Incorporated, which provides tax benefits to people who donate to it. Debbie Garthwaite of the Upper Room Bible Church in Paxton is the coordinator, with Carl Hudson serving as a board member and John Houck, pastor of First United Methodist Church in Paxton, as treasurer. We do appreciate this, and we hope for a lot more to happen in the near future, Charles said. That's one thing we would like to really raise up as a result of our stay there. The organization, which strives to help children with disabilities in Uganda receive schooling, those who want to check it out can do so at www.childcelebrationnetwork.org. We only connect through our Facebook pages and email, but we do want to have people get involved and support a child with special needs, Charles said. We'll slowly push the agenda. The Magumba School in Iganga, Uganda, also has some children coming out of the town of Mukano, which has 88 children, majority of whom are not disabled. We'd like to bring in more children with special needs because they are largely abandoned here, Charles said. In the United States, they have help with assessments, have teachers who help children with special needs, have structures in place. We don't have that here in Uganda. People look at them as a cost in the community and a cost to the family, so they will sometimes be left in their homes. They will not have the possibility to go to school because people think of they are less than human beings. It is an area that needs a lot of help. We hope to bring on board the first part of this year about 50 children in that category to the 88 that we already support in school. Charles said he has talked to some people in churches, such as the Upper Room Bible Church and the First United Church, Methodist Church in Paxton, regarding the organization. Some people from the Gibson City Bible Church have shown interest in being part of the program. We would like to ramp up that interest and get more people interested, Charles said. Charles said he is telling his stories about his time in Paxton to people in Uganda. It's been quite an adventure. We're telling stories right now about what America was like and how life is lived out there and what we can learn from people in America, Charles said. For some people, America is a very far land that they simply would hear. They're fascinated about how life is there and how developed the community is. People love to hear those stories. One of the lessons Charles said he learned in the United States was how jobs could be created in his home country, which is a lesson he is already teaching. There's an old man moving from one place to another. The church can't take care of him. He's very poor, Charles said. I've told him. I've seen people build their homes, build their lives, start businesses. I told him to look in their communities and find out what the needs are there so they do get employment for themselves and the people in the community who also get a service. Business is done differently in Uganda, Charles said. If you start selling something by the roadside, selling tomatoes, I also come and sell tomatoes, and another person comes and sells tomatoes, Charles said. By the end of the day, you have 20 people side by side selling tomatoes every day, so the profits go down. That's largely how people do business here. The Mugambas are continuing their Sunday show on WPXN from Uganda, which will be more interactive, Charles said. We will have people tell stories about how they're living their lives here so that people can get a feel for how life is lived out here. The show is one way Charles is hoping to be a bridge between the United States and Africa. We developed a deeper relationship between our communities and the people in that part of the world, Charles said. Hopefully, in the near future, we'll have people come from the PACs into Africa and help develop deeper relationships and help one another. We do have people who have already said they want to come and are coming once the pandemic subsides and air travel is convenient, which is good. There's something good that can come out of COVID-19 situation and that the two communities can look back to. And now another positive story. Ed Day's dream of building a skate park in Gibson City is now a reality. Gibson City. Somewhere, Ed Day is smiling. The Gibson City man had dreamed of bringing a skate park to his hometown prior to his unexpected death in May 2017, just 4 days after the 64-year-old was sworn into a 4-year term on the Gibson City Council. Today, following years of fundraising by his family and friends, Mr. Day's dream is becoming a reality. Construction of the Ed Day Memorial Skate Park began at Gibson City's West Park on September 30th, and the $180,000 project is expected to be completed later this month. We didn't know if we'd get there to raise enough funds, but we had a big supporter up in heaven who I know is pushing us along, said Mr. Day's daughter-in-law, Billy Joe Denny. I just know he's looking down at us and smiling and telling us we did a great job. A group of Mr. Day's family and friends began fundraising for the proposed skate park named in Mr. Day's memory shortly after his death. Known as the Ed Day Memorial Skate Park Committee, the 10-member group ended up raising $180,000 towards the skate park through a series of fundraisers, including weekly Queen of Hearts raffles, various other raffles, and several garage sales, and collecting donations from local businesses and organizations. The committee initially hoped to raise enough funds to build a skate park with a price tag ranging from $340,000 to $370,000. But the group ended up settling on a smaller scale project after it found a company able to build a very good concrete skate park for $180,000, said Denny, a member of the committee. The skate park, being built on the West Park's northwest side, features a half pipe, a bowl, and a circular pump track, a feature that no other skateboard in the state has, Denny said. Basically, when they come off one of the half pipes or ramps, they can wheel onto the pump track, Danny said. And basically, in a pump track, all they have to do is bend their knees to keep the motion going, to where they don't have to put their foot off the skateboard or bike pedal. They just use the gravity and pump their knees to keep going around the circle. Danny said local skateboarders told her they were super pumped we were getting one. Spahn Ranch Skate Parks, based in Los Angeles, is building the skate park. As of Monday, frames have been installed in preparation for the pouring of concrete. They basically have almost everything formed, Denny said. You can see the half pipe and you can see the bowl. They're now working on making the mold of the pump track and then they'll be ready to pour. They acted like it wasn't going to take them too long to do the pump track, to where they said they should be able to start pouring either next week or definitely the beginning of the following week. Concrete is being supplied by Gibson Ready Mix. The hope is that the skate park will be finished and ready to use by the end of the month, Denny said. They stated to us that as long as they have good weather, it should be ready by the end of October. A grand opening celebration would be held for the skate park at some point, but Denny said she did not know yet whether it would be held this fall or next spring. Denny said she wants the skate park's builders to be part of the celebration, but as she is not sure yet if they can be there for this fall, so it might be moved to the spring. They are hoping to bring many skateboarders, even professional skateboarders, to the grand opening to show everybody all the features and how to use them, and hopefully bring skateboards to give away to the kids, Denny said. The skate park can be used not just by skateboarders, but also by BMX bikers and rollerbladers. But that's not all. The company building the skate park also said there are many people who are wheelchair-bound who have gotten into the sport, and they use their wheelchairs, so it will be wheelchair accessible as well. Denny said the skate park is probably grander than her father-in-law envisioned. I definitely feel it's probably a lot bigger than he imagined we'd be able to do in Gibson City, Denny said. I'm sure he didn't think we were going to go this big, but just to know we raised all the money ourselves without using city tax money, I think he's prouder of that than anything. Denny said she wholeheartedly wanted to thank the community for the support of the project. If it was not for our community, we would not be where we are today, she said. Denny said she is excited to see the results as much as anybody else. She said she hopes the public enjoys the skate park and that it will be used regularly. We've been hearing a lot of people rave about it who are excited and can't wait to come use it, Denny said. I believe I've heard several parents state that they actually take their kids to Farmer City because they have a skate park there, so now they don't have to travel so far. And just as long as there's good weather, I could see it used daily. The skate park will be open year-round as weather permits. The words, Ed Day Memorial Skate Park, will be put in the concrete, and there will also be a couple of symbols on there that represent Ed, Denny said. What those symbols are is a surprise. Eventually, it is hoped that other local organizations or government entities will donate benches for the skate park area, or perhaps even a pavilion in which parents can sit or have lunch as kids use the skate park. Also, maybe something for the littler kids to use, Denny said. There are many options we've looked at that we could do to add to the park. Mr. Day began dreaming of building a local skate park after he and his wife Lori began renovating a building in downtown Gibson City and kept having to tell the kids skateboarding on the sidewalk outside to go somewhere else, as they did not want to see anyone get hurt. Mr. Day wanted a safe place for them to go. He felt there just wasn't a whole lot, especially for the older kids, to do around Gibson City, Denny recalled. And he's always seen skateboarders. His son skateboarded a lot as a kid, so he just wanted to do something for them and provide a place where they could do it safely and not get in trouble. Our next story is headlined, Firefighters from Gibson City, Elliott Battlefield Fire. Gibson City. A field fire Wednesday west of Gibson City burned about 10 acres of soybean stubble, but was extinguished before it could spread to a nearby standing corn crop, Gibson City Fire Chief Bruce Callell said. Volunteer firefighters from Gibson City and Elliott responded to the field fire just west of Ford County Road 300 East and Illinois 9, around 5:29 p.m., Kalal said. We basically had just had bean stubble burning when we got on scene, he said. It started near the highway and burned to the northeast, burned about 10 acres of bean stubble, but we got it stopped before it crossed a ditch and into standing corn. Kalal said the fire's cause was not immediately known. He also said no one was working in the field at the time. Responding from the Gibson Area Fire Protection District were four trucks and 15 firefighters, while three trucks came from Elliott. The scene was cleared just before 7 p.m. Earlier in the day, Gibson City firefighters assisted the Sangamon Valley Fire Protection District, which covers the Fisher area, with another field fire near the intersection of U.S. 136 and Illinois 47. The strong winds Wednesday made the fighting the fires more difficult, Kalal said. You've got to get out in front of them and get them knocked down before they get away from you. The wind always presents a challenge, that's for sure. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in Ford County for the week of October 11, 2020. Roger A. Smith, Roger A. Smith, 79, of Gibson City, peacefully passed away at his home on Friday, August 28, 2020. His Celebration of Life open house will be held 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. October 17 at the Lee Lowry American Legion Post No. 568 in Gibson City. Military rites will be accorded at noon at the Legion Hall. Memorial contributions may be made to the Lee Lowry American Legion Post No. 568 or the Humane Society of Central Illinois. Reverend Philip William Lutz. The Reverend Philip William Lutz, Pastor Emeritus of the Gibson City United Methodist Church, went up to be with the Lord on October 11, 2020. A Celebration of Life service will be held at a later date. Memorial gifts may be made to the Activities Department at Heritage Health in Gibson City, or for the Midwest Mission Distribution Center, a depot for the United Methodist Committee on Relief, through the Gibson City United Methodist Church. Dolly K. Stevens. Dolly K. Stevens, 84, of Bloomington, formerly of Gibson City, died at 5 a.m. Saturday, October 10, 2020, at her home in Bloomington. Private family graveside services will be held at the Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Memorials may be made to the Shriners Children's Hospital or to a charity of the donor's choice. Donna Scherfey. Donna Scherfey passed away at 2 p.m. Sunday, October 11, 2020, at her home in Roberts. No further information is available at the time of publication. Carol Gell Wells. Carol Gell Wells, 86, of Buckley, died Sunday, October 11, 2020, at Piper City Rehab and Living Center in Piper City. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, October 17, 2020, at St. John's Lutheran Church in Buckley, with the Reverend J. Kevin Wyckoff officiating. Burial will follow in St. John's Cemetery, Buckley. Memorials may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church in Buckley. Ellen M. Stewart. Ellen M. Stewart, 90, of Paxton, passed away at 9:57 a.m. Sunday, October 11, 2020. At Gibson Area Hospital Annex in Gibson City. A graveside service was held on Thursday, October 15, 2020, at Smithville Cemetery in Hanna City. Dr. Richard P. Follner, and that's spelled F-O-E-L-L-N-E-R. Richard P. Follner, 79, of rural Penfold, a Paxton physician, passed away at 8:26 p.m. Tuesday, October 13, 2020, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the time of the publication. Clarine L. Satoff. Clarine L. Satoff, 91, of Mahomet, formerly of Gibson City, passed away at 6:05 a.m. Wednesday, October 7, 2020, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Private family burials will be held in St. John's Lutheran Church Cemetery in Anchor. Marianne Retter. Marianne Adkins Miller Retter, age 63, of Lineville, Indiana, passed away on September 25, 2020. Please join us as we celebrate her life on October 24, 2020, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Sand Trap in Gibson City. Alvin H. Smith. Alvin H. Smith, 96, Piper City, passed away on Tuesday, October 6, 2020. Private graveside service will be held at Kankakee Memorial Gardens. Sandra Fair Teske. Sandra Fair Teske, 76, of Cerritos, California, passed away on October 4, 2020, at her home. Funeral services were held Wednesday, October 14th at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Woodworth with the Reverend Michael Ruling officiating. Burial will follow at St. Paul's Lutheran Cemetery in Woodworth. Elmer W. Kohler. Elmer W. Kohler, 91, of Chabanese, passed away on Friday, October 9, 2020 at his home. Cremation rites will be accorded by the Knapp Funeral Home in Clifton, and a memorial service will be held at a later date. Memorials may be made to the family's wishes. Aaron Christian Reed. Aaron Christian Reed, 26, of Onarga, passed away on Tuesday, October 13th, in Loda. The graveside service will be held at 2 p.m. on Friday, October 16th, at the Onarga Cemetery. The Reverend Brian King will officiate. Casual attire is requested. Memorials may be made to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Edward Ed Jamar, and that's spelled J-E-M-A-R. Edward Ed Jamar, 74, of Clifton, passed away on Tuesday, October 13, 2020, at Amita Health, St. Mary's Hospital in Kankakee, following a short illness. Private funeral services will be held Friday, October 16, 2020, at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Clifton. Father Vern Arsenault will officiate. Burial will follow in St. Peter's Catholic Cemetery in Clifton, with graveside military rites by the Bradley American Legion Post number 766. Memorials may be made to the Eversight Center for Vision and the Bradley American Legion Post number 766. Joseph V. Mathey. Joseph V. Joe Mathey, 68, of Chebanese, passed away Wednesday, October 14, 2020, at the Illinois Veterans Home in Manteno. Visitation will be from 3 to 7 p.m. on Monday, October 19, 2020, at the Knapp Funeral Home in Clifton. Private funeral services will be held with the Reverend Keen Wybrew officiating. Memorials may be made to the Illinois Veterans Home in Manteno. We return to the news with a story entitled, Notices of 2020 Property Assessments Sent to All Paxton Area Landowners. Paxton. Every landowner in Patton and Button Townships in Ford County was recently sent a notice of their 2020 property assessment, regardless of whether their assessment changed, Supervisor of Assessments Kim Hooper said. The notices were sent as a requirement of the quadrennial reassessment process, which occurs every 4 years. Hooper said 2020 was the year that Patton and Button Townships in the Paxton area were subject to the quadrennial reassessment. Next year, Rogers, Mona, Pella, and Breton Townships in northern Ford County will undergo a quadrennial reassessment, followed by Drummer and Dix Townships in the Gibson City and Elliott areas in 2022, and Lyman, Wall, Peach Orchard, and Sullivan Townships in 2023. Hooper said that in Patton and Button Townships, everybody got a notice earlier this month comparing their property's 2019 equalized assessment valuation with their assessed valuations for 2020. Everyone in the Paxton area got notices, whether they had a change or not, Pat Hooper said. Meanwhile, any landowners whose farmland's assessed values changed in 2020 was also sent a notice, but only as a courtesy. Hooper said any landowner who wishes to appeal their new assessment can do so through Ford County's website, www.fordcounty.illinois.gov, or by requesting that an appeal form be mailed or emailed to them. People can request an over-the-phone hearing with the Ford County Board of Review, or instead ask for an in-person hearing, Hooper said. During the hearing, landowners are given an opportunity to present their evidence. The last day to file an assessment appeal is November 13th. If you believe the fair market value of your property is incorrect, or its assessed value is not uniform with other comparable properties in your area, or an error has been made, you should first talk to your assessor, the notice sent to landowners stated. Before filing an appeal, an attempt should be made to review the details of your property with your local assessor. If you are not satisfied with that information, you may appeal your assessment to the Board of Review. For more information about the process, landowners can call the Supervisor of Assessments office at 217-379-9430. And that is all the time we have for today's reading of the news from Ford County. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.